Daniel chapter 2. We're continuing our series, and we've kind of got off track a little bit as we wound up the book of Jonah on our series of Daniel chapter 2. We're continuing our series on biblical basis of Baptist beliefs. And presently we are dealing with the idea of God and the being of God. The people who do know their God, Daniel also says, shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:32. And so it's important that we know the God with whom we have to do. Our confidence, if it's based on this flesh, we're going to be disappointed. But if our confidence is in the God that we know, as He is revealed in the Holy Scriptures, it is based upon the rock of His being, the eternal God. So Daniel chapter 2, we're dealing with the wisdom of God this afternoon. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Let's pray. Our Father, we come, Lord, we are but less than worms in Your sight. We think of the fact that You are the all-knowing God, and that You would still have anything to do with us at all is beyond what we can comprehend. Not because, just because we're just creatures here a little while, gone away from this earth and into before You to be judged by You. But we think of the fact that we've sinned and continue to sin even after we've been saved by Your grace, that You continue to be long-suffering toward us is something we have a hard time grabbing hold of. But we are certainly thankful that You work in that way, in Your great wisdom, as we will deal with this afternoon, that You have seen fit to do this, to make people like us wise unto salvation. We ask, Father, that as we consider this, that we would be careful to recognize that if any of us lack wisdom, we can go to You. You know the ins and outs. You know the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we pray, Father, now that as we go through this study, that You would guide these lips and help us that we may receive Your truth with gladness and singleness of heart. We may go forward knowing that no matter how knotty the questions are and the circumstances, that we can always go to You to find grace to help in our time of need for wisdom and times where we need it most, when there are so many unanswered questions. And we ask, Father, now that You would hear us, asking forgiveness of our sins, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The wisdom of God. As we think about this next attribute of God under consideration, it demands our attention, because it belongs to the intelligent spirit. It's a more comprehensive attribute in that it is not only knowledge, but directs it and uses that knowledge in the best way possible for the best ends possible and the best purposes possible. and as well His power and His goodness along with that. That's the wisdom of God. That He would take the knowledge and would use it to the best purpose and the best way, using His power and His goodness. It's no wonder the psalmist says there in Psalms 104 and verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. You look at creation, and if we're looking properly, we ought to stand in awe at what God has created. Just think about our own bodies. And I was just thinking about the other day, because of sinus infections and possibilities and all this, I think our bodies are so complex. And yet, God is making it work together, and He's given us the breath of life. Our heart is beating and pumping that blood through, and just all the things involved with that. How it magnifies the wisdom of God as He has created us and made us the way that He has made us. And then on top of that, the rest of creation. And as it works together, the plant life and the animal life and the minerals and the rocks and all these things, the oxygen and the air and the firmament and the heavens and all this working together in a system that is controlled by the wisdom of God. Now that is wisdom. People talk about wise men, and that pales in comparison to the wisdom of God. And as we think about this whole idea of wisdom, we understand that the foundation of all true religion has as its foundation proper thoughts about God. The Scriptures tell us here in Psalms 104, Psalms 10, verse 4, that the wicked does not have God in their thoughts. Malachi tells of a remnant in Malachi 3:16 that think upon His name. They meditate upon God. The man who thinks right about God will be not far wrong in his thinking about other things. A thousand wrongs grow out of wrong conceptions about God. Wisdom belongs to God, who is that intelligent spirit. It is a comprehensive attribute of knowledge. It not only supposes knowledge, but again, it directs it in the best possible way. You know, somebody can be a walking encyclopedia, a walking dictionary. They can be full of knowledge, but have very little wisdom as to how to use that knowledge properly in the best way possible. A man who is very learned as far as books is concerned, that doesn't have a lot of common sense, can make some horrific mistakes and show a severe lack of wisdom in dealing with various situations. He knows a lot, but he doesn't have wisdom. But God is both all-knowing, omniscient, and all-wise as well. And so what we want to do as we open up this subject of the wisdom of God, we want to look first at the wisdom of God and its derivation. Secondly, the wisdom of God and its demonstration. And then thirdly, the wisdom of God and its declaration. So let's look first of all at the wisdom of God in its derivation, where it comes from. Wisdom is a specific, personal perfection of God. An unwise being cannot be the true God. And because God is who He is, He must be the all-wise God. Even the heathen philosopher Pythagoras said, no man is wise but God only. Job says, with Him is wisdom and strength. And then, of course, our text tells us that that it is God who giveth wisdom unto the wise. Wisdom and might are His. We find that the Scriptures tell us three times in Romans 16:27 and 1 Timothy 1:17 and Jude 1:25, He is called the only wise God. Jesus is called the only wise God and Savior. The angels, as wise as they are, they're without sin. And yet they are charged with folly in comparison with who God is in Job 4:18. I love this passage. As we've been dealing with these attributes, I go back to this and seeing how we haven't visited this series here lately. Let's go back to it there in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. As Paul is winding up the doctrinal section of the book of Romans, and he's embarking on the practical side, before he gets there, it says there in Romans 11 and verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And Paul was, think about Paul here. Paul, who had such revelations about God, caught up in the third heaven. This Paul, this same Paul, was so overwhelmed with the wisdom of God. Now we, who have had lesser revelations probably than the Apostle Paul, we should be all the more overcome with this wisdom of God as we look at the Word of God especially. But now, we see the derivation. It's of God. The wisdom is from God. It proceeds from Him. He is wisdom. But then secondly, we want to look at the wisdom of God and its demonstration. We see in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1, "Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." The resolutions of man, man's determinations, the wisest that could ever be formed after great deliberation and consulting with many counselors, where it says there in Proverbs 11:14 that where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. But God's counsels are without consultation, and His determinations are without deliberation. He doesn't have to do that. It's instant. He doesn't need to collaborate with anybody else to try to figure out now which is the best way to go. God instantly knows what is the most wise way to deal with things. Because of Himself, He is the all-wise God. He's naturally. He's infinitely. Think about that. Chew on that a while. Infinitely wise. He requires no time to think it over. He doesn't need someone to come up beside Him and get another perspective on something. He is sufficient of Himself to give wisdom. And then, the other amazing thing is, God's counsels are immutable. They are so perfect, they are unchangeable. There's no change necessary because His perfect wisdom. That makes sense, doesn't it? It says there in Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. It just stands. No need to change. You see all the things going on in the world today? It may have us in a hissy about what's going on in the world today, but God's not worried about it. His counsel stands. His counsel is being done. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures tell us that God's counsel is worked out. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. There's none who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Isaiah 46 verse 10, I alluded to this morning. I love this. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There's nothing that can overthrow. There's nothing that can confound. There's nothing that can frustrate. There is nothing that can thwart God's will and His counsel. But then we see not only God's wisdom seen and demonstrated in His decrees, but we see the wisdom of God manifested in His creation. We've touched on this before. In wisdom Thou hast made them all. Psalms 104 verse 24. Look at, you know, you get out on a starlit night and just look at the wisdom of God. He spreadeth the stars in heaven in His wisdom. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. It's a marvelous display of the wisdom of God. It's not just beautiful. But the way that it's all put together, I mean, you have to think about the planets and how the revolution of the planets and the moon and the gravitational pulls and all these things is the result of God's wisdom. By the way, it's not the result of evolutionary chance. It's the result of God's unchangeable, infinite, almighty wisdom. You'd think that poking around the stars with a telescope and studying astronomy, and you see the rain coming when it does, and the snow coming when it does, and the seasons and all these things, you'd think, instead of saying, well, there's Mother Nature at it again, that people would consider that this is the Almighty God of Holy Scripture that is orchestrating all of this. Does it not say that the whirlwind is controlled by Him? We look at the earth and everywhere, and we see the design that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He clothes the valleys with the grass for the beasts and for the herbs for men. You look down into the depths of the earth and you see coal and oil and gold all wisely distributed for the use of men. His works praise Him. And when we see it, it calls us to render praise to God as well. But not only do we see the wisdom of God in His decrees and in His creation, but we also see the wisdom of God demonstrated in the providence of God. the various seasons, as I mentioned previously, the seed time, the harvest, the cold and the heat, the summer and the winter, the night and the day are all evidences of God's supernatural wisdom to be able to put all that together. We couldn't do that. Let's just say we got this big sphere. You know, we got these big spheres and this big giant fireball. Could man say, okay, we're going to take this crane over here, we're going to move the sun over there, and we're going to make the earth spin? We can't do that. We wouldn't know where to begin to do things like that. But because God is the all-wise God that He is, He can do that and does do that on a regular, daily basis. He upholds the earth with His own power. We also see that the Scriptures tell us that He sits upon the circle of the earth in Isaiah 40 and verse 22. And wisely orders things all for His glory, Romans 11:36. So what do we mean by providence? Providence is simply that, and we touched on that earlier in Wednesday nights as we're going through the book of Esther. But as God's superintendence of His creation, over His creation, as God at work bringing things to pass that what He eternally purposed should come to pass, it's a purpose. Is the determination of His will, and providence is the execution of His will. And the thing about providence is it's got a certain bit of mystery attached to it, because we don't see it coming into play. It is an expression of the infinite wisdom of the infinite God. We cannot fathom it with our finite minds, the infinite God. That's why Paul says there in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, that His ways are unsearchable, so beyond us. That's why the people of God in the Scriptures, they are in proper fellowship with God. What did they do? What did the Apostle John do as he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ? He fell at His feet as dead, because he was overwhelmed with the glorified Christ. And that's the same glorified Christ that you and me serve. And then we find also the wisdom of God demonstrated in the work of redemption. Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8 that God has abounded toward us. Notice what it says. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Salvation wasn't planned by human wisdom. It would have failed. But God's wisdom. We find there in 1 Corinthians, we discover the dark or the great contrast between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look over there in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know how some people do. If they can't understand something, it's foolish. That's what they do. The natural man receiveth not things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So the wisdom of God is seen in the discovery of the person who is our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Here we are. We stand as sinners before God. We violated the law of God. We rebelled against God's government. We have tried in our depravity to dethrone the judge of all the earth. Justice says, cut him down. Justice says, he deserves to die. Justice says, he ought to go to hell. The truth says, we must perish. For this Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Holiness says, I hate the workers of iniquity. But mercy pleads to spare us. Wisdom comes. The Son of Man, it says, He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, Job says in chapter 33 and verse 24. When we were wallowing in the muck, in the mire of our sin, in our own blood, if you will, our own filth, wisdom said, in Psalms 89:19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Nobody but God and His infinite wisdom could have ordained such a Redeemer like Jesus Christ, the Redeemer who was not a sinful man, who is not even a holy angel, but He is the very Son of God, in every way qualified to save us. And the discovery of such a person can only be attributed to the infinite wisdom of God. It certainly didn't derive from man. Man would have sought some way to glorify himself. Satan would have figured out some way to destroy us all. But only the infinite wisdom of God would have brought a Redeemer like Jesus Christ. And no one but Jesus Christ could have qualified. Who would have thought that the Trinitarian God of the Bible would sustain the rights of the Godhead so that Jesus Christ, God the Son, could be the mediator and be the Redeemer of sinful man, who would answer to the law, and that the law, though it threatened eternal death as the penalty, without the sinner suffering the death penalty. Only God's wisdom could have contrived such a thing as that. What man would have thought such a thing as the divine person of Jesus Christ suffering the eternal wrath of God? You don't find that in man-made religion. You won't find that in Buddhism. You won't find that in Hinduism. You won't find that in Mohammedism. You won't find that in Mormonism. You won't find that in any of the other isms that are of man. You only find it in the Word of God. The wisdom of God appears in the persons upon which the redemption purchases. Redemption, amazingly, was not for the angels, but it is for sinners. Notice what it says there. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, speaking of Christ,
Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He redeemed particular people. Particular redemption. He died for His children. He died for the elect. A particular number. We don't understand why He would even redeem any of us. We were all children of wrath by nature. But our Savior memorialized the wisdom of God in the distinguishing grace that's mentioned there in Matthew 11, verse 25. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, for it seemed good in Thy sight. So we see the wisdom of God in man's redemption. That the Redeemer came in the fullness of time, the right time agreed upon by the Father and the Son, 4,000 years of human history fully revealed the need for a Redeemer, and then we find that it's right in harmony with the Old Testament truth and the sacrifices and the offerings, and the book of Hebrews attests to that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. All the blood that was shed on those Jewish altars were of no avail. They could not take away sin. It required the blood of the very Lamb of God. It says there in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's only through the precious blood of Christ that redemption could be paid. Because there's life in the blood. Who would know that but God Himself, who made us in His wisdom? And then finally, we see the wisdom of God in its declaration. We see the wisdom of God declared in redemption in the commission of the Lord's churches. Isn't that what we do? Don't we declare the wisdom of God as we tell others about Jesus Christ and about the redemption that can be had in Him alone? That's a declaration of the wisdom of God. When you talk to people and just look at the wisdom of it. We've all sinned. We've broken God's law. We've broken the law of God's eternal law and His eternal commandments. We've violated against the eternal God, and the punishment is eternal damnation and hell. What can we do? There's nothing we can do. What can we do to pay the price? There's nothing we can do. So what happened? God sent His Son. The Son came willingly, and He paid the price. And we say that exemplified at the cross when Jesus hung there and He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He was paying the price for every one of those that He died for. Justice is satisfied. Mercy can then be extended and grace be given. The wisdom and the harmony of it all, it's of God. So it's declared in that way. The wisdom of God is declared as when we are made wise unto salvation. Remember, then Paul told Timothy that we were made wise unto salvation. The wisdom of God is shown as He distributes a measure of His wisdom in our own very hearts, to where before we thought it was as natural men and women, we thought it was just foolishness. But now, we say it's a wisdom of God.
notice it says, well, in 1 Kings 3:28, say, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, and they saw that the wisdom of God was with him to do judgments. The wisdom of God demonstrated through a person can cause others to stand in awe. But there's also another side of that coin. Luke 11:49, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall slay, some of them they shall slay and persecute. People get frustrated. They get angry. They get hateful. They call it foolishness. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world's wisdom just cannot even come close to comprehending it. So God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21, and unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God declared the living Word. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. When you think about our Gentile world that we live in, and we think about back in the Old Testament times, the Gentile world was full of darkness, superstition, ignorance, and wickedness of all kinds, immorality, formality, hypocrisy, contempt for the Word of God among the Jews prevailed during that time. But then Jesus says there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 7, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written me. God's judgments are a great deep ocean that we cannot sound the depths, we cannot reach the heights of it. And I love this passage that I referred to earlier in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's pray that God's wisdom would be demonstrated through us and declared by us, that Christ would be lifted up and others be drawn to Himself in this crazy world that doesn't make sense. Wisdom is the most welcome concept if people come to understand by the grace of God what this wisdom is. And those of us, it's a great comfort to us when we think about God's wisdom. We may not be able to understand it, but we can rest assured that God, who is all wise and only wise, has our best interests at heart. And He's working things out together for our good according to that great wisdom. And one day, we'll be in the presence of that only and all-wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's close with a word of prayer.